Are we on the air?
No.
Okay.
Love Theology Podcast, brought to you by the good folks at Distinctive Diamonds. The show you're listening to is rated R for religion. No cuss words on this program.
All right, whatever.
I'm a purist.
Flip us on. Just you download it and cross your fingers. Flip them all. I doubt we know what we're talking about.
I'm American, and I love Dale Jr. Unser.
By the way, I have my shirt off. Hashtag get weird.
I'm sorry. Thanks for editing that out. I'm embarrassed.
It's not going to be your average Bob and Tom today, boys.
All right, everybody. The show is on the air.
And I would like to please insert this in the beginning.
What?
Put that in the beginning somewhere.
What just happened?
Hey guys, we got a great sponsor for the podcast. What? You want to hear about it?
No.
Come on.
Okay, yes, please.
All right, good. Check it out, findsigns.com. Are you looking for a banner for your next big school function? Maybe a wedding, outdoor party, something like that, right? Maybe something like a beautiful canvas print for your bride or for the groom. Well, findsigns.com has got you covered on every occasion, from business to personal. Findsigns offers a wide variety of printed and engraved products that will surpass your expectations of undeniably flawless quality.
That sounds great.
Wow.
It's a local company.
Undeniably flawless.
Is that here in Indiana?
It is, my friend.
Man, tell me again what the title of that company is.
Findsigns.com.
Find Signs.
They have a product design tool that's incredibly simple to use. Designing a print or an engraved product has never been easier. Findsigns.com. Find, design, print. And you get 50% off all products using the promo code PUB. P-U-B.
Pub.
Pub at checkout.
Wow, I like it. Just pub.
50% off.
50% off. That's amazing.
50% off all products if you put in the promo code PUB.
And that's find, F-I-N-D.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Not like Ushi Fine.
Yes, not fine. Not okay. Ushi's Fine. Findsigns.com. Find, design, print. On every occasion, from business to personal, Findsigns offers a wide variety of printed and engraved products that will surpass your expectations of undeniably flawless quality.
And it didn't sound like you were reading that at all.
Thanks. I memorized the whole thing.
You're so passionate about
that. Nailed it. All right, so we're talking about dreams.
We are?
Episode 40. Oh. That's where we're going to be at.
Okay, we are.
40.
Okay.
Dream.
And Genaria, it's...
Dream.
Ask you a question. I got to ask you a question, Aaron.
Go ahead.
Dream.
I said Aaron.
Oh, okay.
When I want you.
All I have to do is dream. Dream.
But that sounded really, I hate it when they sing. I can't sing.
Well, you know, Aaron's pretty good at that.
Yeah, well.
Smiling on me?
Hey, I'm here. I'm right across the pool table from you.
I can hear you.
I'm right here. And
that's
who
perfect,
are you?
Perfect
I'm
intro.
I'm right here, a short 20 feet away.
We're set up in a new location. I've moved to Westfield. I don't know if you listen to the radio show at all. You probably don't. Most people don't. But I am a DJ here in town on 99.5 ZPL. But I moved up to Westfield, so we're doing a podcast from beautiful, rich Westfield.
Ooh.
How does it feel?
You're rocking
the suburbs.
I've
got a pool table. I got a beer pong table. So most people would call that a ping pong table. I call it a beer table. It's what God intended a
pong
table would be. Right? Is that
no,
not in the Bible?
There's no room to play ping pong over there.
I know.
There's plenty of room to play.
That's what Aaron Pelsu was saying. He was like, there's no room for playing ping pong here. No, it's not.
I get serious about ping pong.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're like Forrest Gump. Kind of. No, you didn't know? Why you get? You can't nod on radio. You got to actually speak into the microphone.
Well, I'm not a smart man.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, so we're up in Westfield, and it's the Pub Theology Podcast.
It is episode 40.
But who is this person here?
This, let me ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you know Tenoria Eskew?
No. Eskew Automotive.
No, that's different.
Okay.
That's Esk with an E. This is Ask with an A. This is Tenoria Eskew. Tenoria, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Hashtag Woo! Team Tenoria.
That's right.
And we have a special guest on episode 40 here. We're going to be talking about dreams, pursuing them, how that opens up in your life. And Tenoria is in launch of just an amazing realization of a dream. You are being featured right now on this season of Master Chef. Am I right?
Master Chef. Yes.
So we are here with Master Chef Tenoria Askew. And Tenoria, tell us a little bit about the journey you've been on, about Master Chef. Some people might not know about the TV show, about what happens, but it's the whole Gordon Ramsay thing, right? Is that him?
Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
Gramsay, I'd like to see. That sounds like the inventor of the graham cracker. No offense to white people out there.
I could do a lot of things with the graham cracker, believe it or not.
Could you do some? I'd put a little, well, start with some whipped cream. Huh? That would be good.
Maybe some icing.
I can do your job. No, tell me about this show. I've heard about it, and I know who that star is.
So Gordon Ramsay and Christina Tosi bring 40 home cooks, and we battle it out to see who's the next Master Chef.
Got
to
ask, how did you even...
I watched the show.
Okay.
Some friends pushed me to audition. Last season, they were making meatloaf, and I have a
You
friend,
were making meatloaf?
No, the contestants were making meatloaf.
Okay.
But I have a friend who says my meatloaf is so good, they want to rub it on their face.
Now, wow. I want to talk about that in a second, because I love meatloaf, too.
That's a whole other topic.
And he loves to put meatloaf on his face. Yeah,
well, I put it in my face, in my mouth face. But anyway, so you were watching the meatloaf episode.
Yeah. Friends said, hey, you should do this, because you make great meatloaf. And I'm like, holy crap, I can't do that. And then I started researching and figuring it out, and I auditioned, and they loved me.
How about that, huh? And so what is in it? I mean, is it like Mom used to make with the ketchup over the top of it?
I can't tell you the like biggest secret ingredient. I'm not giving that away, but it's not just ketchup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sriracha.
Not spicy, actually.
Okay.
It's more like a savory sweet.
You stay out of this, Aaron. I'm talking to the king, the queen of cooking right here.
I bet
here.
There's brown sugar in there somewhere.
You are right. There's brown sugar up in there somewhere.
Do you put brown? Is that your secret recipe? You put always brown sugar goes into everything you make?
Cream and butter goes into everything.
Oh,
I make.
You're like Martha Stewart.
Yeah, I like the butter.
Yeah, who doesn't? You're a Hoosier.
So is the show done filming?
We are done. Yes.
I don't know how far you've gone along.
I cannot tell you.
So for people that listening to this episode, you might be toast already. You know? Let's be honest with you.
Well, you will actually see me battle this week.
Well, but some people could be listening to this podcast since it's not live. They could be listening to it next year, you know? It's like, oh, I've heard of this podcast, and they start listening to them. Remember that season?
Are the shows airing currently, like
shows
the season?
Are currently airing.
I'll have to tune. And it's Food Network?
Fox.
Oh, it's Fox.
I'm major. Fox.
That's huge.
Right?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
The debut was this past week, and you said there was like 3.7 million viewers or something.
What? 7 million people viewed it.
Are you getting recognized?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, really?
Random people coming out of the woodworks from like, you know, so I was 2 years old, but whatever.
So you do some local TV, too. You do a spot with Channel 13, right, on Saturdays?
Yeah, so I've been doing WTHR since November. And that kind of progressed, and now there's Fox 59 and MasterChef.
That's pretty impressive.
It's really, really cool.
Gordon Ramsay mean?
Oh my gosh, he's so sweet.
Okay, good.
But
okay,
that's his perception, though, right?
People when it comes to food, don't mess up. He is intense. Do not mess up with food. But he is the nicest, funniest. He's kind of like all over the place. Doesn't sit still. But he's super, super sweet man. He is, and his eyes are dreamy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good-looking man, if I don't say so myself. It was Pride Week, maybe a week ago, maybe two, depending on when this is on the air. I always get confused with the time thing with podcasts. So it's cool to have you here, and how are you connected with like Darren and these guys and Aaron?
Yeah, let's tell the story, because this episode here, episode 40 of the Pup Theology Indie Podcast, we wanted to talk about pursuing dreams in our life, right? We you know, a lot of times when you're a kid, you have a dream. Some people want to be astronauts or doctors. Some people want to be chefs or musicians. Some people want to work in radio, right?
That's true.
And sometimes that works out.
One day I'll get there. You
know? Someday,
Dave. Until then, just this podcast.
You just keep doing these basement podcasts. You're going to get a break someday, buddy. But we pursue our dreams. And you know, one of the great things about, right, the American dream, living in America, is that sometimes we actually, you know, I mean, we do have the freedom to pursue them. Doesn't always work out, but sometimes it does. And tonight I met you last January. Was the first time I really remember interacting with you. And we were at a DiscipleX discipleship training thing that Pub Theology put on. And we were in a small group together the whole day.
Yep.
And I remember us talking. It was towards the end of the day, and we were just kind of praying for each other in the group, and kind of take us back to that moment about, you know, you shared this dream that you had for Tenoria's Table, and at that point, kind of take us back to that, is, you know, a year and a half ago, where are you at in this pursuit of this dream, and kind of what was the dream that you were pursuing?
So about a year and a half ago, I had been working my normal 9 to 5 for the last 14 years and knew that God was telling me to do something different.
Which was what? What were you doing?
I was working at a credit union in human resources.
So nothing with food.
Nothing with food. I didn't take a path with food in high school or college or anything like that. I just always liked to cook. But I
made that mean meatloaf.
I make that right? Amazing meatloaf that rub you want to rub on your face. but I started to realize that there was something more. I wanted to do something that reached more people.
Yeah.
And going to Mercy Road, I started realizing that there were ways to help people through food and show love through whatever avenue God was going to give you. And my avenue was food. So I became this person who knew exactly why God put me on this planet, but I wasn't doing it. So at Disciple X, I was so distraught that I knew I had this purpose, but I wasn't fulfilling this purpose. So Disciple X spoke a lot of life into me to pursue my dreams.
Yeah, I can remember that day after, before the day was over. I remember a bunch of us kind of gathered around and you know, joined hands and prayed for you and just really spoke, you know, words of truth and blessing over to what God was going to do in your life. And just, I mean, we're talking about a year and a half from that time. Yeah. And now, you know, Tenorious Table, which I remember that day you talking about, that's what you wanted to call it. That was a dream you had. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember as the weeks progressed after that, I remember you started posting pictures of stuff you were making and places you were cooking on. And I would tell you on Sundays, like, every time I see one of your posts, I get hungry because the food looks so good.
That's the goal.
And then now we're a year and a half from that day when you were not doing it at all. And last Wednesday, 3.7 million people saw you cooking on national television. So, I mean, how do you go from, I have a sense of purpose in my life, I think this is the dream I want to pursue, to, I mean, now 3.7 million people saw you cooking last Wednesday on Fox. So what was the, fast forward, if you will, kind of through that this past year and a half?
A lot of sucking it up and dealing with it, getting over my fears, and a lot of prayer. And a lot of telling people my dreams to hold me accountable. I'm the type of person who doesn't want to tell you my dreams until I know they're going to work.
Yeah.
But I had to get over that. And I started telling people what I wanted to do. And people were pushing me. I mean, pushing me way beyond my comfort zone. 9 to 5 is my comfort zone because it's stable. And there's no unexpected. And so doing Tenorious Table and trying to be smart about it, not just dropping everything and running from my dreams, but being very strategic and making plans like God told us to do.
Yeah. So there's a connection. I'm hearing you say there's a connection for you to actually telling people, like going public, putting the risk out there, saying, hey, I've got this dream. There was a connection of you actually taking that risk to actually starting to see momentum with it.
Yeah, most definitely. If I hadn't told people what I wanted to do, I wouldn't have had people constantly encouraging me and reminding me what I set out to do.
Yeah.
I would have easily, the first time something didn't work out or the first meal that I gave to a client that maybe didn't go so well, I would have just stopped right then and there.
Yeah.
But because I had people holding me accountable, I was able to keep pushing.
Yeah. So you start cooking, you start preparing meals for people, you start the process of Tenorious Table starting. Is there a website or something people can check out for it?
Yes, you can go to tenoriustable.com and find out all my social media stuff, as well as sign up for newsletters and hear more about MasterChef.
Okay, so Tenorious Table. So you start doing that. Then how do you, from I'm beginning to cook, Tenorious Table becomes a reality to, I think I'm going to try to get on MasterChef. How did that whole thing take off?
So I was cooking a lot and really learning a lot through the process. And I always knew that I wanted a platform to share what God can do through food.
Mm-hmm.
And really, my friends pushed me to do MasterChef. Once again, my fears got in the way, and I was like, no way possible. But my friend put it on my calendar, and I always say when it goes on my calendar, it happens.
Yeah.
So they put the audition on my calendar, and next thing you know, I was in Chicago auditioning and meeting with executive producers.
So how many people try out for MasterChef?
21,000 people auditioned this year.
Whoa. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's a ton of folks.
And they pull 40? Is that what you said?
They pulled the top 80 out to California, and then they narrowed us down to the top 40, and that's what you see on TV. Yeah.
From 21,000?
Yeah.
That meatloaf better be good.
We need to do
really good meatloaf.
A podcast taste.
Yeah, test. Next podcast live from your kitchen.
Yes.
Thank you. Back to you over there. I feel like I'm a million miles away from you guys.
Because you are.
Yeah.
Those guys are sitting on a couch in a corner. I'm over here in the other corner yelling at them across the room.
You just need a longer cord.
I can't get there.
You kind of look like you're in timeout compared to us.
Yeah, just in the corner.
Dave's in timeout in the corner.
And the way you're sitting on the chair
is kind of weird.
Quite remarkable.
Dave Smiley from 99.5 WZPL. Dave, you are Indianapolis's number
sweetheart,
number one, morning DJ.
And thanks.
You have been wanting to do radio since you were how old?
Yeah. Well, I was around radio. My father was the pastor, but also in the ministry in other ways. It's a musical group, the Smileys. I'm not kidding. That's the truth. Thanks a million, Lord. Play it, Joey V.
Thanks a million, Lord.
No, please, Joey V. Play it. Now you can finish it off.
For saving me. Okay. Thanks a million,
and so
Lord.
My dad owned some Christian
for
radio stations.
For setting me free.
All right, shut up. Owned some Christian radio stations, so I was always around studios and things like that. So I thought, it was always kind of funny. I have recordings of me when I was 8 years old on my grandpa's radio show, which is kind of like a podcast back then, but it was albums and a lot of prayer. a lot of prayer, I guess. So I've always wanted to be there. And then when I heard, I got into high school and junior high, and I listened to top 40 radio and stuff, I wanted to be those DJs on the radio.
What was it? I mean, can you think about back when you were a kid, like, what was the thing about radio that you're like, dude, I want to do this? What part of it?
I think I just was listening to the radio, just like anybody in there, with a cassette deck and recording your favorite songs. That was The Cutting Crew. I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. That was a good one.
And Joe.
What was which one?
I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight.
Must have been something. But, and then I would get albums, and I would try to be the DJ that I heard on the radio. And I would do it, hours and hours. I have a recording somewhere of cassettes of me interviewing the neighbor, Carrie Ward. I would, I'd take her voice, and then I'd ask other questions later and insert her saying the ridiculous things to my questions. And so, I mean, I just always wanted to do it, and I'm still doing it somehow. I'm 44 years old, and, I'm still playing pop music. Playing Daya and Demi Lovato, and I'm
walk the moon.
And so it's kind of funny that
I love about it though, Dave, he's like, if you said, it was just, it's what everybody did, listening to music and doing cutting up tapes. But it's like, what I think is amazing, like, Turner, one of the principles we grabbed from you, right, was that speaking your dreams to people held you accountable. But for Dave, like, I think what seems normal to you, like, I never did that, right? Aaron, I don't know about you, like, I never made a fake radio show as a kid, but it's like, what I think is cool is that there's for somebody maybe listening to the podcast, may think, man, I don't know, that if God put me on earth for a reason, or I have a dream, and it just, maybe they're thinking, yeah, when I was a kid, I used to just do that thing, whatever. But it's like, what I loved about pulling from your story is like, no, since you were a little kid, like, God put it in you that was a passion of yours, and he actually gave you a voice to be good at it, But the one thing I love about your story, Dave, is that, and it's similar to what you're saying, Tenori, is that you could still be doing human relations stuff right now, Tenori, and it'd be, 16 years into your career, whatever, but...
Human relations. Tell me more about that.
No, wait,
I'm sorry.
Human resources.
Oh, okay.
Relations.
Human
Although
relations.
Some companies do call it relations. They
oh,
do.
I love that.
So, let's bring this back. You could still have your job. And one thing I like about your story, Dave, and I want you to talk a little about it, is that you graduate from high school in Des Moines, right?
Des Moines, yeah. We had our high school radio station that I got involved in too. That was just perfect. It just worked out. There was only one in Des Moines that I knew of, but it's the only high school I went to too.
But you could have stopped right there, right? You could still be in Des Moines, but like, you took a huge risk to chase dream, right?
So out of high school, I got an offer to do radio in New York, which is boggling. But I knew somebody in Des Moines that was going out there to be an assistant promotions director. And he gave the tape, my demo tape, to the program director out in New York. And he called me one day and he was like, listen, I just walked by the program director's office and he is blaring your air check tape. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And then next thing you know, he's like, you have him come out. We want him to be part of the morning show in a weird way. I was Bubba the Love Sponge. And I had
Let's talk more about that.
Were you seriously? Was that your name?
That was my radio name that they stole from a guy that actually, that was his radio name in Tampa. But
wait, isn't he the dude that's the friend with Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, that's that whole drama that happened. Yeah, Bubba the Love Sponge, and I'll connect with those videos and all that stuff. Yep, that's the same guy. That's where I got my name from. And when people meet me, they thought I was a bigger guy, you know, but I was just this little skinny dude. I was, you know, 20 years old, I think, when I was out there. And so, yeah, I took, you know, I went out there, and my dad was scared. He drove out with me in this, in my Renault LeCar, just a piece of junk. And drove out there, and he was and then the program the promotion director told my dad, he was like, listen, we're going to use your son, he's going to work a lot of hours and all the time, and he's going to use this radio station on his what is it called when you have a piece of paper
resume.
That shows you, yeah, resume. Thank you. By the way, I'm really dumb, and I only went to high school. And it was just kind of funny that that was the truth, and then my dad was scared. I was like, he went home, and I was left behind, and there I was for a year later in New York. And eventually, I was just so scared and of my program director and intimidated by everything. I ran back home to Iowa after about a year.
But if you wouldn't ever take the risk, you think you'd be doing what you're doing
now? I don't know. Maybe not. I learned a lot. You know, I definitely... Yeah, I learned a lot from that experience, and then I just kept going. You know, I was went back to Des Moines, worked there, and worked the weekends in Omaha, Nebraska. Met some guys out there that went to San Diego, and boom, boom, Phoenix, and then here for 14 years. So yeah, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Still doing radio.
I love
signed
it.
A 3-year deal. Ratings are good.
Yeah,
God is so good.
Good job. Aaron, so let's go. We also have on the podcast
got scared.
Our regular cast of characters here. Aaron Pelsu. Aaron,
yes, sir.
You're a dream chaser yourself. You've when did you know, listen, music is the thing I have to do in my life?
Well, the jury's still out on that.
You better get a better singing voice than that.
No,
you can't harmonize with my God music.
My mom always joked that I used to sing before I could talk. Like, she'd know I was awake because she'd hear me in there, like, humming melodies
really?
In the crib. Before I, like, formed words, I was like...
Wow.
And so I think, you know, especially singing part of music was always just... My grandfather, both of them were singers. One of them was a choir director. My grandfather, my dad's side, William Wallace Pelsu, he was a professional
Sons
musician.
Sons of Scotland!
William Wallace?
William Wallace.
Are you serious?
William Wallace Pelsu, yeah. His family was
freedom!
Very Scottish heritage. And so he was a professional, like, sang opera with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra and, you know, did that for many, many years as a career. I have recordings of him singing, like, on the radio, like, being a featured artist. So pretty cool stuff. But so I just was always a singer. You know, we grew up in church, so I was always singing in church and in school choir. I was always, you know, doing all the auditions. So always loved music. I mean, you know, when Dave was putting together fake radio shows and interviews, you know, we were putting on like house concerts in the basement, you know.
Yeah.
Doing all our favorite Michael Jackson covers and
the
whatever.
The way you make a man.
Yes.
You really turn me good.
So my mom heard me say the word hell in a Michael Jackson song, and then I had to throw my cassette tapes away.
That's like my dad heard me playing what was it? It was probably Motley Crue or something like that, and he was just
But yeah, I mean, I wanted to, my dream all the way up until high school, actually up until college, was to get into musical theater. I was in The Music Man, a whole bunch of musical theater around Indianapolis. Growing up and in high school and community theater, and so I wanted to go to Broadway. That was my dream. Went to college to study music performance with the goal of graduating from college and going to Broadway and trying to further my career there. But then I lived next to some guys that played the guitar. You know, I was like, they were driving me nuts because they had huge amps, like big cabinet amps in a dorm room.
Oh wow.
And they like with the big, you know, head and the 410s and just blowing the walls down. I was like, I'm either going to kill these guys or we're going to become friends. So I ended up being the front man for their, you know, rock and roll band, which was the first rock and roll band I'd ever been a part of. And they started teaching me to play the guitar. And so then I started forming my own bands and started leading worship, playing the guitar and trying to write songs. And the rest is kind of history. It was like, I think that kind of set the dream then to play and write music.
Sounds like everybody had their dream come true, except for Darren. Darren wanted to be a computer repair technician. And it just didn't.
Dude, you know what? That's funnier. One thing I pull out from your story is like is the kind of the word that's popped into my brain. I don't know if it's right or not, but like the long suffering of it, right? That like from a kid, you wanted to do it, but you've stayed consistent. You know what I mean? And I know, you know, we don't have time to get into all the ins and outs of your story, but there's been some, you know, and even now it's not the easiest thing to continue trying to do music. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
So there's a part of like, if you want to live a dream, there is a part of suffering for it. You know what I mean? I think about one thing when we teach spiritual DNA, I tell people that it's interesting that we want to, you know, living for a dream that's in our heart. It's about pursuing a passion. You know what I mean? But the word passion actually, it's from a Latin word, passeo, and it actually means suffering. And so when we look at, man, I want to do something, I want to, you know, chase a dream, or I want to live for something I'm passionate, what we're actually saying is I want to live for something worth suffering for. Like something that I care enough about that I'd be willing to suffer for it. And, you know, one of the things that I think that I try to encourage people to, and if you listen to the podcast and maybe you've been to a Pup Theology event, or maybe you don't go to church, or you're very curious about spiritual things or relationship with Jesus or anything like that, one of the things I try to encourage people about is to realize that one of the things that I love is in the scriptures where it teaches us that people who are connected to God are actually supposed to be people of passion, people that chase dreams. And one of the scriptures that I pulled up to just give us context for today's conversation is in Acts chapter 2, is when the church is birthed, on the day when the Holy Spirit comes down. It's in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament. And it says this, it says, when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, that was the disciples. And without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force, and no one could tell where it came from. And it filled the whole building. And then, like wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. And so in this story in Acts 2, it's the actual beginning of the church that actually still exists today, right? The church around the world. And then Peter stands up, one of the disciples, and he speaks to these people, and he says this. He says, "Fellow Jews and all who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get the story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." Which
they're high.
Yeah,
because the gale winds. What were you saying?
The gale force winds.
All the wind. And what else happened?
And there was tongues of fire.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when you were telling that story, I was like, that sounds like somebody's hot box in the church. That's what I was thinking, but I didn't want to say anything, but since you brought up the drunken thing.
Well, I think it's funny because they were speaking in different tongues, and everybody's
yeah,
like, these
guys
thinking.
Are
these all
guys
drunk.
Are high, yeah.
They're, they're not drunk. They were actually high. But I think I always love what Peter says, right? That he says these people aren't drunk, right? As some of you suspect, they haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. But I think it's funny. Yeah. Like, why didn't he say, hey, these are disciples in here of Jesus, and they
do
don't
you know my radio show? Yeah. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. My show's over. Guess what? There is a beer fridge located in the other studio. Just want to let you know.
So I'm just saying, Dave, you would have fit in awesome the day
yeah,
of Pentecost.
No, I definitely would
it's
be
good.
There.
So let me finish the scripture. And now, they're not high, and they're not drunk,
okay,
but he does say
it.
This. Now, they are, maybe they're high on the Holy Spirit.
There we go.
Or there is a phrase within the church that people say they're drunk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So that's what they were. Anyway, he says this. He says, this is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons and daughters, your sons will prophesy, and also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams when the time comes. I'll pour out my spirit on all those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved. And like that's the first sermon ever preached in the church, right? And what Peter's saying is, hey, look, now that the Spirit of God is on all people, like the one of the hallmarks of this movement is going to be people who are dreamers and visionaries that actually move out and one of phrase that I like to use, create the future. And, you know, around the table, we've got, you know, you guys can't hear it. You can't see Tenoria, but Tenoria is a young African-American woman, and Aaron is a bearded young man.
I'm Native American.
And Dave, by lack of body hair, you can tell is Native American.
Thank you.
But we are a mixture, right? Men, women, black, white, everything. And we have these stories of God moving in our life and actually becoming people who are doing our best to create the future. You know, my story, we're not getting into today, but since third grade, I wanted to be a drummer in a band and travel around the world and be in a band. And I've done that, and then things changed a little bit, and now I do pup theology, and I'm a pastor, and it's just kind of crazy to see the way that God has been at work in my life, and the commonality of our story of pursuing something that God put in you early on. And if you're listening to the podcast today, and maybe you're thinking, man, you know, I don't know how old you are. You're in your 30s, maybe?
MasterChef lasted everywhere. I'm 34.
34. So Tenori is 34, right? And you could be at a place where you've been at 14 years with your job, and you're not sure what you want to do. Maybe you thought when you were a kid you want to do something. And you can see that, you know, when you pursue that, when you get the accountability of it, when you actually take the risk of it, here Tenori is, you know, a year and a half into taking this risk, and now 3.9 million people are talking about Tenori's table, and we don't even know. She may actually be – we may be sitting right next to the Master Chef right now, guys. She can't tell us. She may have won, which we'll find out in a couple
months.
What
is the prize?
$250,000,
whoa!
A trophy, and the coveted title of Master Chef.
Huh.
And nice. Every opportunity that opens up.
Yes.
Which could be huge.
Could be huge.
Or you could be
and
like,
a cookbook. I forgot about the cookbook, yeah.
Maybe you'll get on that Channel 13 cookbook.
You're not guaranteed a show, like, but you're guaranteed, you get a cookbook.
Yeah.
The money check. Mm-hmm. Nice.
I hope things work out for you. You're welcome.
I can be like the Jeffersons and move to Westfield.
Moving on up.
To the west side.
Yeah.
But if you're listening and maybe you're at a place where you're wanting to pursue a dream, maybe something today can encourage you that if God put it in your heart to do, He actually does, you know, I think really begin to move and see the universe conspire in your favor when you do begin following Him and seeing that purpose through your life. And so if you'd like to find more information about that, you know, we've talked about it in a podcast before. We're hoping that it will launch this month. I know I've said that before and it didn't.
But go to WZPL.com.
That's it. That's where you need to go. No. Go to www.
Now, wait a second. How many W's are there?
Three. There's three.
Okay. W. Go ahead. I'm just writing this down.
Yes. Dot.
That's what my mom says. Mom, I know there's three W's. Got it. What else happens?
W.
All right. Thanks, Mom. Now what?
Spiritual-DNA.com is the website. And if you'd like to be a part of maybe a live event we're going to do this year and help you discover maybe some dreams and visions and the purpose that God's put in your life, it doesn't mean life's going to get easy. In fact, it may get more difficult, but you find you're living for a purpose and making a difference, like Dave does every morning to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of listeners.
Millions.
Aaron with his music as he travels around the nation. And Tenori, as she makes amazing food, and now who knows what God has for her. And for me, doing a little bit of pup theology and trying to spread a little faith,
meatloaf
hope,
now.
Love, and fear around the world.
What movie is that from?
Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers, yeah.
Mom, meatloaf, now!
I caught my wife watching the TV edited version of that. Really?
Yeah.
Wedding Crashers?
Yeah. TV
Pretty
edit.
Sure you didn't. You were sad at me the first time you heard I watched.
Are you a mother? By the way, do you have kids?
I'm not.
You don't have any kids?
I just have two fur babies.
That's fun. Uh-oh. Tell me, are those cats?
Dogs.
Okay, I don't know what a fur baby would be. It could be really anything.
It really could.
Yeah,
fur.
Dogs.
Could be a Furby.
Yeah. Sure.
Like a vintage Furby.
It's all good.
You still
it's
have
all
a
good.
Furby you've kept alive this long. You could be a mom.
So bringing a landing here for episode 40 of the Pup Theology Indie Podcast. We're so glad you joined us. If you know what, we'd love to see a Spiritual DNA or one of our Pup Theology events coming up soon. This episode will release late in June probably, and our next event is August 25th down at the Pavilion downtown. Want you to be there. It's going to be great. We're going to pack 30,000 meals for local kids, creating hope for hungry kids right here in Indianapolis. You can find out the information at pubtheologyindy.com. And we'd also like to thank one of our other sponsors. If maybe you are in a tough time in your life, maybe you're on the struggle bus and you've called into the Smiley Morning Show. We tried to help you on Therapy Thursday, but you need a little bit more help in your life. We want you to check out RestoreRenewOnline.com, one of the best online counseling services in America. Huh. It's
check
quick. It's easy. You can do it from your phone, or your iPod, your iPad, or at home on your own computer. It's great. Check it out. RestoreRenewOnline.com.
And I know Darren won't say this, but I will. Please try to send as much money as you can to us. Me specifically, I live up here. This mortgage payment is killing me. So do it. Open up your checkbooks and just send that money right away to WZPL.com. Back to you for more.
We'll see you on the next Puppyology 80 podcast. Thanks for listening. Share this episode. Download it. Let everybody know. We'll see you next time.
Let's go to Steak and Shake.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Yet he loved me enough just to set this sinner free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.